Hare Krishna, my question is from chapter 8, nectar devotion, offenses to be avoided. So okay. In that, Hare Krishna?
Yeah.
In chapter 8, they said that one should not accept prasad before the deity.
Okay.
And I also said, one should not eulogize or praise anyone else before the deity, and one should not speak any ill name before the deity. But Prabhuji, I have one question. I saw the devotees are praising the devotees in front of the Lord, and I saw some of the devotees speaking ill about the devotees in front of the Lord, and also I saw some of the person who is quarreling before the deity. So is it right that just recently, two to three days back, I just saw. And also I saw devotees eating, means having prasad in front of deities, means not the altar closed. They are not closed the altar. So is it the right way, Hare Krishna?
So first of all, most of the points that you asked, they are all covered in our class. So, if I would really request all the devotees, if they are missing some classes, then please, hear the recordings. Otherwise, we'll just keep repeating the points and we'll not be able to proceed ahead on time. So, many points that Sumit Prabhu asked, I've already discussed in the class. But still, I will again try to, repeat one more time. So he was asking about eating in front of the deities. So this we have already discussed in detail. So anyone remembers what we were discussing?
We should not eat in front of the deity.
Actually, this is not that, what we discussed. If you remember, Sarada Mataji was the one who...
If there is space constraint,
Mataji, if you remember, you had given the example of your, Uripi, this thing, that how in your nut.
Yeah,
that's how they were serving the devotees in front of deities.
Should they cover it with the curtain or something like that? And then my Prabhuji said ki, sometimes there is a place constraint in places like Bombay and all, then you are allowed to do it.
Yeah. So, see, basically, Vishwanatha Thakur says that eating tambula in front of the Lord is not proper. Mm-hmm. But, in general, eating prasad is okay. And I was also giving my own opinion and realization on this, that why would the Lord be offended, if we are trying to respect his remnants.
Yes.
We are honoring his remnants and we are tasting and we are enjoying also, So the Lord is also pleased. When the Lord is seeing that the devotees are pleased, then he also becomes pleased. So in that sense, and in fact, I also gave example of my godbrother who told me that in some other shastra also it is mentioned that the Lord is pleased when you eat, in front of him. So see, sometimes there are contradicting statements in the Shastra and we have to reconcile it. So Vedanta Sutra says that if you find two contradictory statements in one scripture, then you have to interpret another statement. Okay. And then you have to reconcile. So you cannot prove false either of the statements. So you have to prove right both of them and you have to reconcile it. Okay. So eating prasadam, which is offered to the Lord, that is, I don't think it should be offensive. But eating bhoga, that's something which is not offered to the Lord. Obviously, that is definitely offensive. Okay. That's one point. Second point about glorifying Vaishnavas. So the nectar devotion also says that one of the offenses, to the seva aparad is that someone in front of the deity. Okay, so what does this mean now? Should we not glorify Vaishnavas in front of deities? Should we or not?
We can,
okay. Any other devotees? Anyone would like to guess? Okay, now can I ask one question? That can we glorify Srimati Radharani?
Yes.
No, we can glorify. No, we are not qualified, or we have lot of anarthas, Prabhuji. We cannot glorify her from our mouth.
So can we glorify Srimati Radharani?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, exactly. So what Sachimandra said, Rasa Gopro said, is all correct, but
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you know, like we have Bhagavatam class itself in the morning, and that time also we glorify the devotees. So glorifying the devotees in front of the Lord is a higher principle.
Hare Krishna.
So when
you are joining the call, Vardhakapur Yaro on Pesavendiye.
Sorry, I did not understand. Very complicated language.
Mr. Tamil.
So, yeah. So, who has joined now? Usha Mataji and Ramkrishna Room?
They are going to join late, Prabhuji. By 9, they said they will be joining.
Yeah, I forgot. Sorry. So, then who has Satyabhava Mataji joined?
Satyabhava Mataji must have joined.
Oh, she is Tamil?
Yeah, yes, Prabhuji.
Achcha. Okay, anyways, whatever. So, yeah, so this is a higher principle that in front of the deities, we have to glorify the devotees. Okay, because the Lord is more pleased when we glorify his devotees. Now, when the Shastra is saying that one should not glorify others, so what does that mean? Yeah, correct. Yes. So one should not glorify the materialistic people. Okay. So anything connected to the Lord and the devotees, it is always above the, you know, Shastric principles, like especially do's and don'ts, you know, it is always transcendental. So yeah, one can always glorify the devotees. Now the question is, can one talk ill about some devotees in front of the deities?
No, Prabhuji, we cannot talk.
Okay, so does it mean that we can talk ill behind the back of the deities?
No, we are not supposed to do that.
Okay. Everyone agrees on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and what about if a guru is correcting a disciple?
Guru can do it.
Yeah, so that also we have to understand that if any devotee is genuinely trying to help the disciple by correcting them, then that can be done. So that is not offensive, because the mood is to help the disciple to advance. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is that? Yeah, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hare
Krishna.
Hari Bol. Everyone can understand this principle, right? That the higher principle is to always glorify devotees, and if someone is saying ill about something or trying to correct it, correct some devotee, if he is in the position of a guru, then he can do that, provided his motivation is genuine. He's not just trying to, blaspheme the devotee. So all these things we had already discussed, you know, about intention, motivations and all that. Who can correct, who cannot correct and all that. So does that answer your question, Sumit Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you very much. I got my proper answer.
Yeah, okay. So, in the last class, you know, if you all remember, we had started with hearing, chanting, reading, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam. So if you remember, we have already started with the nine limbs of bhakti, and we are going step by step. So actually, last week I was actually in my in-law's house, so I did not have my notes with him, along with me. So then, came to my mind, I was just speaking that. So, I forgot to send my notes to my email, so I couldn't refer to my notes actually. So I am just trying to share some points from the notes which I recollect, which I did not share earlier. So basically, you know, I had explained in the last class that hearing is so important and bhakti starts with hearing because it destroys avidya, you know, through vidya. So, and then, you know, actually in our CC class, in our last CC class on Friday, I also shared some very important insights on from whom to hear. So I just thought that maybe I can just share few of the things from the last, you know, from the CC class, so that, you know, everyone can understand this principle very clearly. So the question I was asking to the devotees is that, you know, can we hear from everyone? And if everyone is under Srila Prabhupada, then is it okay to hear from anyone and everyone? Right? So now I think most of the devotees know the answer. So can they share? Can they share something?
Please, one second, can you repeat?
Yeah, I was asking that because ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada's movement, and there are so many devotees under Srila Prabhupada. See, initially when ISKCON was started, that time Srila Prabhupada was alone and he was the only Diksha Guru, right? So, and each and every devotee, they completely depended on Srila Prabhupada for instruction, right? So now obviously, maybe Prabhupada did not instruct them directly, but his instruction was coming through the temple president or some authority in the temple. Okay, but ultimately all the devotees, they were, for them, their, you know, main center was Srila Prabhupada. But after Prabhupada left, there are so many gurus now. So then we have to understand that from, although everyone is representing Prabhupada in ISKCON, so can we hear from each of them?
Prabhuji, can I answer?
Yeah, please.
Prabhuji, we can hear, but you have to follow your spiritual master.
We can what?
You can hear from the bona fide devotees, but you have to follow what your spiritual master says, and you have to follow his instructions.
Okay, so Saroja Mata is saying that although we can hear from anyone, but finally we have to filter out, right, that knowledge through the instructions of our spiritual master, right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, okay. Anyone else would like to share anything?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We can hear from all the devotees of Lord, but we can take the essence that they are saying about the Lord. We can sense in our daily activities. That also one thing.
Okay, so we should take the essence from everyone.
Yes.
Okay.
He sends from Elnor.
Any, yeah. So
and we should follow the follow the guidance of our spiritual masters only.
Okay, so what you are saying is also what Saroja Mata is saying, right? That we can hear from others, but then ultimately we have to follow our own group.
Ultimately, yeah, correct, right.
Okay, so, or any other opinion, any other point? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. Correct, okay. Yeah, so, see, this is, I'm not saying, I'm providing Shastra Praman, basically. I'm providing Prabhupada's purpose, then... See, the most important, okay, so now one question which is connected to these things is that how do you make maximum spiritual advancement? What is the first and foremost principle to make spiritual advancement? Okay, but hearing also, that is the question, that, you know, from where we are hearing, no? So how do we make advancement in spiritual life? What is the first criteria?
Sadhana.
Okay, then?
Then ingrain, whatever you hear, try to apply and try to realize those things. Reflect upon it and realize.
Yes, that is the most important principle, that whatever we are hearing, assimilating knowledge, that we have to apply it, and so we are hearing from the Guru, and we are hearing from the Shastra, correct? And we are hearing from the Sadhu, so Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So now, advancement in spiritual life will take place, and how does advancement in spiritual life take place? Does it depend on our effort?
No. Our effort is Guru's grace also.
Huh?
Guru's grace and anugrah is required.
Yeah. So everyone agrees on that by the Guru's grace, right?
Yes.
Because Guru is the representative of Krishna. Okay. So by the mercy of the Guru, you get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Radha and Krishna. Correct? So first and foremost, we have to please the Guru. Okay, so now when it comes to pleasing the Guru, obviously we cannot please each and every devotee, even though they may be in this one, even though they may represent the Prabhupada, right? So that is the reason we have to, initially we have to explore, we have to experiment with different devotees, and then later on we have to find out who is the devotee who is inspiring me the most in spiritual life, and then we take diksha from that devotee, okay? And then we try to surrender to that devotee, because only through surrender we will make advancement in spiritual life. Okay. And surrender, yeah. Part of surrender is to, yeah, Haribol.
Prabhuji, in this, to tell you one thing. I have heard that there are two types of bhakti, that is Markata and Margara. Hello? Are you able to hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, this Markata is a bhakti wherein, this is about a monkey and a cat. How the monkeys, they don't allow they don't take care of the children. The children actually cling to them and they move from one branch to another.
Right.
Hello? They move one branch to another. And the children, they hold them properly. That is
correct.
we clinging to God, and God will take care of us. That is, we have to be all the time after God. That is chanting, hearing, or all that. Whereas in the case of a cat, the cat holds the, takes it wherever. Hello, are you able to hear me, Prabhu?
Yeah, please continue.
Whereas in the case of a cat, the cat holds the child in its mouth so carefully and takes it. One, we have to be clean to God. And God, by His mercy, He chooses His own devotees and takes it wherever He wants them to.
Okay, so what is the role of Guru in this then?
Hello?
Yeah.
This is what I have heard.
Yeah,
there are two types. One is we have to be after God. That is like a monkey.
No. My monkey. First of all, who is this? Who is this? Like I.
This is Radha here.
Radha Smaran Mataji. Yeah. So then, what is the role of Guru here? You are talking about clinging to God. Where is Guru in this picture?
Of course, we are through Guru only we get to know God.
Exactly. So that is what, you know, the example that you gave, it's definitely, you know, valid. And but, you know, we first approach God through Guru. Okay, through parampara.
Yeah.
So the example in the example that you gave, you know, it's basically clinging to the Guru, you know, like that. And if you want to advance in spiritual life, then you have to serve them. Okay. Because bhakti means to serve the Guru. Okay. And then when we have to serve someone, we have to please someone, then we have to follow their instructions and, you know, we have to be faithful to them. Correct?
Yeah. But in Marga, what happens is a person is already exalted in his previous birth, and when he comes to the next birth, he already has, you know, all the paraphernalia required, and God actually accepts him directly through Guru.
But in ISKCON and in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we don't follow this standard. Even though if someone is exalted, we always we want to be faithful to Guru. We want to accept Diksha. In our Sampradaya, in our Parampara, right from Prabhupada till all the Acharyas, who are they? They are all Nitya Siddha. And most of them are Manjaris of Srimati Radharani, direct personal, you know, Roop Manjari, Rati Manjari. Then Rag Manjari and Sanatan Goswami, you know, Lavang Manjari, you know. So all these are coming directly from Goloka, the highest destination in the spiritual world. But you see, when they come to the material world, they all behave as a sadhaka. And they are setting the example of accepting a guru in parampara. What to speak of the Goswamis, the Acharyas, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. You know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. And then Krishna himself also, they both accepted Guru. So they are setting this example for a sadhaka to always accept the shelter of Guru. And whichever devotee is advanced, why will not he accept the Guru also? You know, that is the first point. That, you know, he will not... So see, we don't emphasize on this point. It is, even though a devotee might be advanced and probably he has reached the level of Uttama Adhikari, and maybe the Lord is also present in his heart as a super soul, he is directing from within, but that devotee also will behave as a sadhaka. And that is Rup Goswami's philosophy. We always emphasize and
that
we only stress
that is
on
from the external. From the external point of view, we always feel, you know, that they are also like any other. But internally, that which they will not reveal, such devotees, exalted devotees, they get this mercy directly from God, which they don't, explicitly say. But it happens.
Yeah, but you see, throughout Gaur Lila, if you have read Gaur Lila, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, wherever you see, even though the devotees are always guided within, but they always seek blessings of their Guru and then only they start some endeavor.
Yeah, that goes without saying. That is there, yeah.
So see, we are not, you know, forget about those, you know, because let us talk about ourselves. For us, you know, first and foremost thing is to surrender to a guru. And without that, there is no chance of, you know, reaching higher platforms. So we are not sufficiently advanced to say that, we cannot have a guru, or we should not have a guru, or it's okay to be without a guru. That's not possible. Okay. And then we also see the examples of all these Nitya Siddhas, that they all accepted guru, and externally they were all following the. Okay, so so this thing we have to, this particular emphasis we have to take in our heart. You know, we don't see that, otherwise what is the
even
reason
Krishna parampara? Yeah, even Krishna had his guru, though he is highest.
Yeah, so this is what Srila Prabhupada always emphasized, you know, and we are Prabhupada's, you know, servants, and we are loyal to Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada always said that the secret to spiritual life is to follow or take the instructions of guru at heart and soul. There is no other way to success. Mm-hmm. And Vishwajit Thakur also says the same thing in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita shloka. Okay, so this is what we are always going to emphasize right from the beginning itself, you know, because this is what Prabhupada has taught us, and this is the ABCD of spiritual life. Okay, so, and even if someone is very exalted, still he will also follow the guru, you know, so there is no question of any, you know, so we are, see, you know, if we are following guru, we are always safe. That is our position. You know, if we do not try to, you know, if we do not follow, then gone, it's gone, you know, everything is gone. So, so anyways, you know, coming to the main, you know, point is that we have to, you know, follow, and we have to surrender to the guru. And in order to do that, we have to serve him, you know, we have to please him. And we cannot please and serve everyone because we are limited. So then we have to stick to some devotees, you know, where we can see at the time of initiation, we are giving this vow to, you know, in front of the deities, in front of the Vaishnavas, that we are going to surrender to the guru, you know, and that is what is the most important thing. So if we deviate from that principle, then, you know, everything is gone. Okay, so so see, basically, although everyone is representing Srila Prabhupada, okay, but at the same time, we have to filter out, you know, we have to make the choice of filtering out, and whoever inspires us the most, you know, he will become the center object of, you know, our worship. And then the remaining, you know, Diksha Siksha Guru will also depend on that devotee. So you select some center, and then whoever repeats the center, you accept them as Siksha Gurus. Okay. And whoever contradicts them, you should not accept him, you know, because it's a natural process. It's a, you know, you surrender to someone naturally. You don't have to be forced for that. Okay. And once then, you know, comes from the heart, then automatically it will be easier for you to decide, you know, which devotees we have to serve, which devotees we should not serve, like that. Okay. Mm. So see, and then, you know, in our CC class, I was asking this question also, that, you know, if someone will, you know, think that, you know, okay, by serving anyone and by following anyone, I will please Prabhupada. But then the question is that, why are we following Prabhupada then, you know? Like, why not be open-minded and, you know, go to Gaudiya Math, go to other Vaishnava Sampradayas, and, you know, take Siksha from there also. So why we are only, you know, sticking to Prabhupada? So then, you know, so this principle will extend, you know, we can also extend this principle to Prabhupada also. Okay. So we have to understand these things very clearly, that we cannot hear from it everyone and anyone. And, you know, ultimately we should give priority to our own Diksha and Siksha Guru. That is what the Krishna Varnamrit by Narayana Sarkar, it says very clearly. Okay, that for a disciple, you know, special respect should be given to the Diksha and Siksha Guru, and they should worship them with heart and soul, you know. So even if, you know, some advanced devotee will come, you know, but still they will have to serve their own Diksha and Siksha Guru. So this is how we have to filter out. And as Sarodaya Mataji and Sadhguru Prabhu was saying, that if you hear something different from your own Diksha and Siksha Guru, then you don't have any obligation to follow it. Whether, you know, if it is coming even from ISKCON, you know, if another devotee from ISKCON will say some things which are contradicting your own, you know, Diksha and Siksha Guru's teachings, then you are not obliged to follow it, and you should filter it out, and you should not follow that. Okay, so this is the right etiquette. So this principle is extremely important to understand. Okay, like, you know, one class, Radhanath Maharaj was saying that, you know, if devotees, they get attracted to one, you know, they are inspired by one devotee, you know, now, then after some time, they will get inspired by another devotee later on. So this thing of going from one place to another place will always happen, you know, keep happening. Okay, so that is the reason we have to focus, we have to fix ourselves somewhere, and we have to serve. You know, the most important thing in spiritual life is to serve. See, you know, interestingly, if you see, when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, although the holy name is everything in Kali Yuga, you know, the Krishna has, you know, come in the form of the holy name in Kali Yuga, but at the same time, we have to understand that all these gurus, acharyas, you know, they are all teaching us how to chant the holy name in the spirit of surrender. Okay, and that is very important. That is extremely difficult also. It's not so easy. See, surrender is not a one day or two day thing. Surrender means surrender for the life. You know, and only if we surrender, you know, to our authorities, then only we can actually approach the holy name through, in the spirit of surrender. You understand this principle? See, it's very important. And it's always connected to each other. So that is the reason you see the Shastra say that implicit faith both in the spiritual master and the Lord simultaneously has to be there. So this point I've already covered earlier. Okay, and you know, interestingly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita third chapter, Antya Lila, where, you know, Krishna Devadas Goswami is glorifying Haridas Thakur. So, in that, you know, Haridas Thakur is saying that Nirantar Krishna Naam, you know, we have to chant. We have to chant the name constantly, you know, the holy name. And then, in, you know, Prabhupada's purport is so amazing. You know, he writes that actually Krishna wants everyone to surrender to him. That is the first principle. Okay, but because in Kali Yuga, we are all Sudras, you know, we are all conditioned, and because we cannot surrender to Krishna so easily, and that is the reason Krishna has given us the, you know, holy name. Because by chanting the holy name in the right mood, you know, constantly chanting the holy name, we will develop a spirit of surrender to him, and gradually we will surrender to him more and more. So you see, in one sense, actually surrender is the topmost principle, you know, even beyond chanting. Because, you know, you see, when you, the ultimate goal is to please the Lord, you know, and if he wants us to do something else, then we have to do that. So we cannot say, I Lord, you know, chant, I want to chant your name and I cannot do anything. You know, like in case of Prabhupada also, when Prabhupada was, you know, constructing that Vrindavan temple, so then devotees, you know, they were very eager to come to Vrindavan. And they wanted to explore Vrindavan, you know, they wanted to enjoy Vrindavan Vraj Bhumi. So they, and they thought that we are coming here so that we can, you know, spend some time to absorb ourselves in the leelas of the Lord and, you know, wander from forest to forest so that, you know, we can get that mood and taste and everything. And when they came to Vrindavan, Prabhupada engaged them in, you know, all the activities of construction. You know, like they were counting cement bags, you know, and then so much accounting they were doing, and all whole day and so many days they were doing the same thing again and again. And then after some time they went to Prabhupada and said that, Prabhupada, you know, like, we came here for another purpose, but you have engaged us for some other purpose. Actually, we just wanted to chant here the whole day. And Prabhupada said, your chanting means you have to count the number of cement bags. So, so this is one example of, you know, like, how to really show surrender to the holy name. Okay, and then another example, you know, some devotees, they wanted to chant 64 rounds, you know, and that devotee, you know, approached Prabhupada, and, you know, he said that, you know, Prabhupada, please give your blessings. I would like to chant 64 rounds every day in Mayapur. So you please give blessing. And you know, Prabhupada understood his mindset. So he said, okay, you know, I will give you blessing. And this is, you know, what we have discussed, sakapat kind of blessings, you know, that the guru can also cheat the disciple if the disciple wants to be cheated. Okay, so he got the blessings, and Prabhupada knew, you know, he told his disciples that after some time, you know, he will leave everything and, you know, he will go away. And the same thing happened. So that, you know, disciple started chanting 64 rounds in Mayapur. And after some time, you know, he got so much frustrated that he stopped chanting. You know, he left ISKCON, and then he went to the US, and he, you know, he started working in a petrol pump company, you know, and he was like, he was actually giving, you know, he was supplying gas and all to the petrol pump station. So this is what we have to understand, that we have to cultivate faith in both things simultaneously. Okay, and then surrender to Guru is the highest principle, most principle. So if the Guru wants, you know, certain things to be done at certain time, then he will instruct us. So it does not mean that, you know, we tell, you know, that, oh, chanting is the yug dharma, so I will just chant the whole day. Okay, it all, you know, we have to all like reconcile. You know, there are many multiple statements of Prabhupada saying different things at different times. So, but then you see all his disciples who were very faithful to Prabhupada, so they are now, you know, they have advanced so much in their spiritual life. Okay. So it is, you know, it is not so difficult for, especially for Indians. You know, it is not so difficult to, you know, chant 16 rounds or, you know, follow regulative principles. You know, Indians, you know, by default, they have been following the regulative principles since a long time. Okay. At least the older generation. And 16 rounds, you know, it's like, you know, not too much for us. Okay. So, you know, it is so easy to chant 64 rounds also sometimes for devotees, you know, if they like chanting. But to surrender and to accept the authority of someone, of a superior, that is more challenging and difficult. Okay, and that is what Prabhupada is trying to explain here, that Krishna wanted us to surrender to him, but because we could not, that is the reason, you know, he asked us to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Okay, so these two things go simultaneously. We cannot avoid it. So any questions on this? Any question, any comment?
No questions, Guruji.
Okay. So everyone is there? Or like...
Yes, I'm there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
please
so
continue,
yeah, okay. So now, you know, we can start the 11th chapter. Before that, I wanted to inform that the CC class that will be starting from next week, we'll be doing it through Skype. Okay, so it will be through internet, and I think we'll have to experiment that before we started. So Swati Mataji, you know, she has done like really good service by, you know, finding out free conference call details, you know, how to connect, and she has been trying since many days. So finally, she, you know, she has come with good option, and you know, I really wanted to thank her for this. And I hope all devotees, you know, will also appreciate that. So,
Hari Bol.
So we are,
Hari Bol.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Swati Mataji, you are there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your wonderful help.
No,
so,
Prabhuji,
so we'll try it next week. We'll try that option. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, so who is going to read now the 11th chapter?
Shall I read, Prabhuji?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Hare Krishna, chapter 11, aspects of transcendental service. Servitorship. In the opinion of karmis, that is fruitive workers, offering the results of karma is called servitorship. But according to Vaishnava acharyas like Rupa Goswami, servitorship means constant engagement in some kind of service to the Lord. In the Skanda Purana, it is said that those who are attached to ritualistic activities, the four orders of social life and the four orders of spiritual life are considered devotees. When devotees are actually engaged in offering service to the Lord directly, this must be Bhagavatas or pure devotees. Engaged in fruitive activities, prescribed duties according to the four orders of social and spiritual life, pure devotees. But still, because they are offering the result to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. When one has no such desire but acts spontaneously out of love of God, such a person must be accepted as a pure devotee. The conditioned soul who have come into contact with the material world are all more or less desirous of lording it over the material nature. The system of Varnashrama and the prescribed duties under this system are so designed that the conditioned soul may enjoy in the material world according to his desire for sense gratification, and at the same time gradually become elevated to under this prescribed duties of Krishna and Ashrama, there are many activities which belong to devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those devotees who are householders accept Vedic ritualistic performance as well as the prescribed duties of devotional service because both are meant for satisfying Krishna. When householder devotees perform some Vedic ritualistic duties, they do so to satisfy Krishna. Any activity aiming at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered devotional service. Rupa Goswami describes one who is fit for becoming engaged in devotional service. Says that persons who are neophytes and who have developed a little love of Godhead are not interested in the activities of sense gratification proportion to their devotion. But if there is still some attraction for sense gratifying activities, then the result of such activities should be offered to Krishna. This is also called engagement in the service of the Lord, with the Lord as the master and the worker as the servant. In the Naradiya Purana, there is a statement of how this servitorship is transcendental. It is said that a person who is constantly engaged in devotional service by his body, mind and words, or even a person who is not practically engaged but is simply desiring to do so, is considered to be liberated.
Okay, so now can someone identify which is this particular item from the the limbs of bhakti? First of all, how many limbs of bhakti are there?
Nine.
So then out of nine, which one is this one?
Is it Atmanivedanam?
No. Atmanivedanam comes at the last. No, Archanam already we have finished in the last chapter.
Dasyam.
Yes, servitorship Dasyam. So Savanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasam, Sakyam, Atyam, Nivedanam, right? So now you see we have already finished the first six in the previous chapter, right? And now we'll be discussing the last three in this chapter. Okay, Dasyam, then devotional service in friendship, Sakyam, and then surrendering everything to the Lord, Atma Nivedanam, right? Okay, so inform you that we are discussing about the nine limbs of bhakti. Okay, so now there is something here which is very interesting, and Rupa Goswami also says that in this particular paragraph, Prabhupada also mentions this point that to offer something with the result of prescribed duty, is actually something that is a weak faith. So if you are only offering the results of our prescribed duties, then that is not complete servitorship. Okay. That is something which is still lacking. Okay, and that is the reason Rupa Goswami says the best kind of servant. See, now there are different categories of dasyam. So here we are talking about to act as a servant of the Lord. But there is a dasyam which is actually one of the rasas in the spiritual world. Okay, so someone's identity is to be a das in the spiritual world. Right? But at the same time, you see, in all the five rasas, this dasyam element is common. Correct? Because everyone is serving the Lord. Right? So in that sense, this dasyam is always common. Okay, so the dasyam that here, it is referred to is, according to, it can be both. Some say that this dasyam means, offering our prescribed duties to the Lord. And actually the advanced version of dasyam means that to serve the Lord in the mood of dasya bhav. Right? When we realize our swarup. So here Rupa Goswami says that the real dasyam is to act as a servant of Lord at all the times. Okay.
Yeah. And Hanuman is
Yes, Mataji. Yeah, correct. Hanumanji is the example of dasya. Right? So, while discussing Sakyam and Atmanivedanam, we'll also discuss examples. So that time also some devotees can share, you know, which are the examples. Okay. So now, Vishwanatha Thakur and Jeev Goswami both say that this offering of holy actions. Yeah, yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can you repeat that last point you had said, you had told?
Hanuman is Dasa.
No, a previous one.
I was talking about what? I was saying offering of.
You said, Prabhuji, that you have to act as a servant at all times in your devotional
service. Correct. So we were differentiating between Dasya, you know, as an offering and a prescribed duty, whereas also Dasyam, which is actually your Swarupa. No, you are always acting as a servant of the Lord. So Rupa Goswami says that this is the more advanced version of Dasyam, that, you know, acting as a servant of Lord at all times, you know, can be called as Dasyam also. Our prescribed duties to the Lord is consist of weak faith. Okay. And why? Because that does not involve everything. And that is the reason at the end Prabhupada says, and Rupa Goswami also come, you know, state this point that in you know, in the Naradiya Purana, you know, the verse says Iya Hasya Hare Dasya Karmana Manasa Gira Nikilaswa Api Avastasu Jivan Muktasa Uchate. Okay, so this is in the Naradiya Purana with Rupa Goswami quotes, and the meaning is, and here, you know, Prabhupada explains that anyone, any devotee who engages his body, mind, senses, everything in the service of Lord. Any devotee who can engage his body, mind, senses should be considered as liberated. So this is advanced state of bhakti. Okay, this is best type of dasyam according to the acharyas, and this is how Srila Prabhupada also, you know, speaks. So we have to understand that dasyam can be at different stages and levels. Okay, so there is the, you know, common dasyam which we find in any you know, devotional relationship, and then there is the dasyam which is existing at the level of swarupa. Okay, so when we are practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, we are also trying to serve the Lord, so we are also acting on the platform of dasyam. But, you know, one of the categories of dasyam is to just offer the prescribed duties, and the advanced version is to offer body, mind, you know, word, senses, everything to the pleasure of Lord. So this is the best kind of service to the Lord. Okay, so only by offering the prescribed duties, it has some, you know, defects. It is weak faith. You know, Vishwanatha Thakur and Jeev Goswami say that, so the nine limbs of bhakti, they are pure, you know, pure devotional service. Okay, so if any devotee are doing the pure, you know, the nine limbs of bhakti, then that is the best, you know, everything includes in that. You know, these are the three most important elements, the limbs of bhakti. Okay, so any questions on this?
Ruji, I just wanted to share on this Varanashram which is mentioned in this verse.
Yeah. So basically, you know, when I was talking about the offering of prescribed duties, so that is Varanashram only. Yeah, so please go ahead.
And yesterday we learned in the Nectar of Instructions class that the Varanashrama is so well defined by Krishna in the verse 4.13, which says, Chaturvaranyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagata.
Guna Karma, correct. Yeah.
Tasya Kartaram Api Mam Viri Akartaram Avyayam. And if you read this verse, Varanashrama is based on Guna and Karma.
Karma.
And nowhere
Krishna exactly.
At birth.
Yeah, that's obviously there. Yeah, so even if you see Bhagavatam also throughout the Bhagavatam, you will find so many verses that, you know, a Brahmana is never identified by their caste. It's all about qualities and their gunas and karmas basically. Right? So,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so any other...
Prabhuji, can you tell me that verse from Narada Purana which you just quoted? Just talking.
Iya asya harir dasya karmana manasa gira. That one.
Prabhuji?
Pardon me, Prabhuji.
Yeah, actually, Mataji, I don't know. Here, Prabhupada has not given the exact number of that verse. But this is very, you know, in Bhakti Shastri, you will be, you know, taught this verse. Very popular verse. Iya asya harir dasya karmana manasa gira. Nikhilaswa asav avastasu jivan muktya.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so this is you learn in Bhakti Shastri. Yeah, okay. So any questions or any comments on this? Okay, next.
Haribol. Just a moment. Nine links of bhakti is the great process of bhakti. And if someone follows me, that person will be very much great to worship the Lord. So, because in material world it's very difficult to follow full limbs. We can follow only hearing, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing, speaking, and not speaking, only hearing we can follow sincerely. But what about others? Because for me, I can only hear. I can't speak. I can do service. Yeah, I can do service sincerely. I can do hearing. These two service I can do properly. But what about seven? What about seven links?
Yeah. So you know. So okay. Let us now. You know. If any devotee knows the example of who got perfection, who attained perfection, just by following one limb of bhakti. So all devotees are requested to, you know, if they know, then, you know, give example. So let us start with Shravanam. So who is the one who attained perfection by Shravanam?
Parikshit Maharaj.
Yes, then Kirtanam.
Sukhdev Goswami.
Correct. So then Smaranam.
Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes, then
Pada Sevanam Lakshmi.
Yeah, so okay, correct. Yes, then Vandanam
Archanam. Vandanam is
Rishi Maharaj.
No, I think Vandanam is Akrura probably. Archanam is, I think, Prithu Maharaj. Yeah. Right? Okay. Yeah. Then Dasyam already Mataji said Hanuman. Okay. What about Sakyam?
Hanuman, yes.
Arjun.
Okay. And what about Atmanivedanam?
Bali Maharaj.
That Parikshit Maharaj. Right. Parikshit Maharaj.
Bali Maharaj.
Parikshit Maharaj was Shravanam. So Bali Maharaj is the right answer. Yeah? So Atmanivedan, and then what about all the nine limbs? Who did that?
Rupat.
Amrish Maharaj.
Amrish Maharaj, yeah. Yeah, that's correct. So who's this? Who said many, you know, examples? Was that Satyabhama Mataji?
Yeah, Prabhuji. Yes.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, so you see all these devotees, you know, they are exemplifying one particular limb. And then Amrish Maharaj is exemplifying all the limbs, right? So it is said in bhakti, one can attain perfection through one limb also. Not necessarily that everyone can follow all the limbs or should follow all the limbs. One can, you know, attain perfection through one limb itself. Okay. Yeah.
In Kaliyuga, we can't do any. Nine.
Yes, correct. Wonderful point. So Jiva Goswami says that in Kaliyuga, this nine, they cannot be done perfectly. There will always be some imperfection. And that is the reason, chanting the holy name, you know, along with the processes, you know, that is the best recommended in Kaliyuga. Okay. See, that is the reason. Actually, you see, amongst, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked to, I think, Ramananda Rai, so, you know, that which is the most important, you know, limb of bhakti? And what did he answer?
Harinam Sankirtanam.
Harinam Sankirtanam. Is that Jagjanani Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Yeah, so Harinam Sankirtan, chanting is the emperor of all these limbs. How? Why? Anyone knows?
Pleading to Radharani to be put into the service of the Lord.
Okay.
Prabhuji, we are in direct association with Lord.
Actually, in deity worship also,
chanting is Kirtanam plus Shravanam.
Only Shravanam?
Dhyayato Vishnu.
No, Kirtanam. Chanting is Kirtanam plus Shravanam because you have to hear the sound vibration again through your ear.
Yeah, okay. So only two limbs. What about others?
Usme Smaranam bhi hai.
Then? Go on. Keep adding.
Surrender is also there because you chant in a surrendered mood like.
Yes, continue. Then?
And it's a service Archanam. To
Lord. So, Seva. Archanam is also is not included in that?
Yes, it is included.
Yeah. And then what about Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam?
Moods, na? Those are the bhavas.
Yeah, so you when you chant, don't you express yourself in that mood?
Correct, Prabhuji.
Yeah. So this is the beauty of chanting. That chanting, it is the emperor of all the other limbs because chanting itself will include all other limbs in it. You know, so that is the reason it is the emperor of all the process. That is the reason Jiva Goswami says that all the, you know, whatever we are doing, whatever other limbs we are doing in Kali Yuga, it should always be accompanied by chanting of the holy name to make it perfect. Okay, because there are aparads, you know, along with other limbs. And it cannot, in Kali Yuga, very difficult. See, Smaranam is out of question. You know, in Kali Yuga, Smaranam is like, you know, very deep stage. It's so difficult. Like, you know, you try to meditate or something also, you know, you'll do it one day, two day, but then next day you'll be like frustrated. No, but chanting you can keep doing, you know. So that is the potency of chanting. So by chanting, you know, Prabhupada says that what is the best way, and then Sanatana Goswami in Dhrira Bhagavatamrit also says, and then Vishwacharya Thakur also says, Swami also says that when we chant holy name, then Naam, Roop, Gur, Leela, everything will automatically come.
Correct.
Okay. And the best way to remember, you know, is not to remember. The best way to remember is not to remember. The best way to remember is by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Okay. Because by chanting the name, the remembrance will automatically come. Okay. But if you artificially try to remember or meditate in Kali Yuga, then, you know, after some time you will fall down. So that is the reason we have to, chanting is the king of all the processes.
Hello, Tad Hari Kirtanam.
Yeah. So that is the reason Harinam, Eva Kevalam. Hello, Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Nasti, Gatir Anyatha.
Anyatha.
Correct.
Yeah, right. So, but, you know, although it is the king of all processes, but there is only one problem with chanting. That is that, you know, we have to take care of the offenses to the holy name. If we don't, unless, you know, we chant offenselessly, the holy name is not recovered. Okay. So, otherwise it is the Maha Mantra, you know, holy, wait for initiation, not for association, not for guru, not for anything. You know, if someone can chant, that is why it is called Maha Mantra. It is not just a mantra, no? So it is Maha Mantra. That is the reason we require guru, sadhu, shastra, you know, and all, everything like that. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So,
yes, I got my answer. But somehow or other, I can't do any of this. I can do only hearing.
Actually speaking, yeah, hearing is the best one. Because the sense of hearing, only a sense object which doesn't get tired. You know, you can go on hearing kirtans, you can go on hearing lectures. And here is the only sense object in our body which never gets tired. Okay, hearing so is also one of the best.
But, you know,
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji,
yeah.
What you told last line, somebody it becomes.
One, see, the Mahamantra does not wait for anything. If one chants offenselessly, the holy name. So it means that one has to chant offenselessly throughout their life. Not just for a couple of days, couple of months. You know, and then fall down to aparadha. So it should be steady throughout the life. So then one can get the full benefit of the holy name. She said, you know, that hearing is like, you know, obviously, and you know, the most important part of hearing is that we require hearing, because without hearing we can't get knowledge, and once we don't have knowledge, then you know, plainly we'll commit offenses during the, you know, process of bhakti. So even if you are chanting the holy name,
what we are doing,
if you don't
now
have the right,
what, yeah, we are so doing now from your mouth, we are hearing all.
I mean, you know,
details,
so what we are doing is, you know, we are just discussing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is given by Prabhupada, and Rupa Goswami is, you know, Jeev Goswami and Vishwanath Thakur. So I'm just sharing that with you all. Mm-hmm. So by you know, the knowledge, we are able to understand what exactly Bhakti is and how we can get the full effect of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Okay. So by that knowledge only we can, you know, overcome rags. Okay, so hearing, that is the reason hearing is extremely important, the first step towards spiritual life. So any questions or any other further comments on this? Okay, let's go on.
Your explanation is wonderful.
Thank you, Mataji. I'm just trying my, you know, best to share what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, Mataji, please continue.
Okay, devotional service in friendship. Devotional service in friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as a confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as a well-wisher of the Lord. The devotee who has confidence in devotional service to the Lord systematically follows the rules and regulations with the faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. The second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord accepts the preacher as the most dear servant. Anyone who is preaching the most confident message of the Gita to the people in general is so dear to Krishna that no one can equal to him in human society. In the Mahabharata, Draupadi says, "My dear Govinda, your promise is that your devotee can never be vanquished. I believe in that statement, and therefore in all kinds of tribulations, I simply remember your promise and thus I leave." The purport is that Draupadi and her five husbands, the Pandavas, were put into severe tribulations by the cousin brother Duryodhana as well as by others. The tribulations were so severe that even Bhishma Deva, who was both a lifelike warrior, would sometimes shed tears thinking of them. He was always surprised that although the Pandavas were so righteous and Draupadi was practically the god of tribulations, though their tribulations were not ordinary, Draupadi was not discouraged that because Krishna was their friend, ultimately they would be saved. A similar statement is there in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, verse 53, where Havi, the son of King Rishabha, addresses Maharaja Nimi, "A person who never deviates even for a moment from the engagement in service at the lotus feet of Supreme Person, engagement which is sought even by the great demigods like Indra, with firm conviction that there is nothing more worshipable or desirable than this, is called the first-class devotee." Sri Rupa Goswami says that a neophyte devotee who has simply developed a slight love of Godhead is certainly a prospective candidate for devotional service. When he becomes firmly fixed in such devotional service, that assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. Found that a pure devotee lies down in the temple of the Lord in order to serve him as a confidential friend. Such friendly behavior of a devotee may be accepted as raga nuga or spontaneous. Although according to regulative principles, no one can lie down in the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this spontaneous love of Godhead may be grouped under devotional service in friendship.
Okay, so here also, you know, as we discussed about Dasyam, so Sakyam also has two stages or two levels. Okay, so can someone identify which are the two levels? Prabhupada also talks about it here.
One is the faith and follow the rule.
Yeah, one is with trust, confidence.
Yeah.
And the second type?
Love. Faith and love.
No, faith and trust. That is the first type. What about the second type? You know,
love of God, eh?
It's the,
love.
See, what does Prabhupada say in the first paragraph? The second type of devotional friendship.
Well-wisher.
To become a well-wisher of the Supreme Master of Godhead. So what is the meaning of this? See, this statement, you know, they can, when you... Yeah, yeah, to spread the message, that's correct. And, you know, Prabhupada gives that example. But you see, what is the mood? There is so much difference here. You know, when we are talking about the first statement, and with whole, you know, the finish of a... It is talking more about that form of spontaneous devotion. This is the reason, you know, in numbers given. One is of the sadhaka, which Draupadi is actually praying. And then, at the end, you know, Prabhupada is giving another example, you know, who is on the Raganuga platform. And what is that example?
Draupadi. That he lies down in the temple.
Ah, yeah. Draupadi is in sadhaka. And this is in Raganuga. That a devotee, pure devotee lies down in the temple. So, lying down in the temple is an offense, actually. You know, one cannot lie down. But, you know, sometimes a pure devotee, someone who is on the platform of Raganuga, they are beyond rules, regulations. Okay. So now you see, Rupa Goswami also says, and, you know, the acharyas also comment, these are the two types of friendships. One, you know, with trust. And the second one is with, you know, second is more developed. Okay. So, that is actually on the platform of Raganuga, where one is acting at thus, you know, as a well-wisher of the Lord. So, you know, again, Rupa Goswami says that the first one is a bit weak, you know, advanced. Okay, so now, you see, interestingly, you see here, Draupadi is quoted for the first example. But, the acharya say that Draupadi actually had advanced prema, because she is actually non-different, you know, one way. She is, you know, internal energy of the Lord. So Draupadi is an eternal associate of the Lord. So how can she be, you know, given as an example in the sadhaka form? So then the acharyas explain that actually, you know, when the nitya siddhas come, they also act on the level of sadhaka. And when they act on the level of sadhaka, they pray also like that. Okay, so here, the prayer by Draupadi is actually in the mood of a sadhaka. Okay, and you know, the way she prays is that, my dear Govinda, the promise that the devotee can never be vanquished. I believe in that statement. So this is showing trust in that statement, okay? And that's why this is a lower, you know, that is the reason someone lying in the temple of the Lord is quoted here. Discrimination between, you know, the first faith and the second type of faith, you know, to the Lord. So now, interestingly, the acharyas also say that friendship also exists in different forms. Okay. One type of it's in the mood of the Vrajvasis. And that is specifically directed to Krishna, Vraj Krishna. Okay. And another type of friendship is that in the mood of awe and reverence. But that also, that friendship also comes in the category of Vaidhi Bhakti. Okay. So, see, Sadhana Bhakti has two divisions. So anyone knows which are the two divisions? No one knows?
What
Sadhana Bhakti?
Sadhana Bhakti?
Yeah, Sadhana Bhakti has two divisions. Huh?
Is it Vaidhi Bhakti, Prabhuji? Because...
Yeah, and second? Harivol?
Vaidhi Bhakti and...
So what comes after Vaidhi Bhakti? Spontaneous. Yeah. So what is spontaneous? Even Raganuga Bhakti, you know, there are different levels of understanding. If you remember, I think we were discussing last time, actually. So now, you know, even devotees who are developed, you know, Rag Bhakti. Why? Because it's all spontaneous. Okay. But when it comes to, then Raganuga Bhakti also takes on another meaning. And it, you know, it is defined as Rag Anuga means to follow in the footsteps of a associate of Vraj. So Rag Anug. Anug means following their Rag. So following their mood. Okay, so we do not imitate them, but we follow them. Okay. And if someone wants to go to Krishna or Vraj, then only through steps of Vrajvasi one can go. Otherwise they cannot go there. It's not possible. Anuga will also take different meanings. Okay, so here the Acharyas quote the example of Arjuna. At the same time, they quote example of a Vrajvasi, you know, by following in the footsteps of the Vrajvasis. So friendships, like for example, Subal Sakha, Sridhama Sakha, in Golok Vrindavan. So they are friends of the Lord, but you know their friendship is very advanced. Their love, prem. Okay. Yeah, okay. So, any questions on this? Any questions?
No, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, a small request.
Yeah.
Can you make announcement that if someone is outside, then the phone is...
Yeah. Actually, there is some noise, disturbance.
One of Mata, so one baby is speaking loudly in front of the room.
Yeah. So I think now that, so devotees requested if someone is in their house and if some small child are creating some noise, then please ask them to keep quiet, or you can silent or mute their phone. Yeah. Okay. So the voice is on now. Okay, so I hope everyone is following. And if there is no question, then we can continue. Okay, yeah, please continue, Mataji.
Okay. Surrendering everything to the Lord. Regarding complete self-surrender, there is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th.
Achha, one minute. I just forgot to also share one point with Jiva Goswami says that now in the levels of friendship, so there are two different types of faith. So one is called a Shraddha and then one is called Vishwas. You know, in the process of devotional service basically, and the difference between, so what does anyone know the difference between Shraddha and Vishwas?
Shraddha means there is no doubt, like ekdam firm faith it is.
Okay, you have said the other way around.
Okay.
Yeah, so yes, so Vishwas is the advanced faith of Shraddha, advanced version of Shraddha basically. So that is what Jiva Goswami explains here. Yeah, that's the only point I wanted to share. Yeah, okay, continue, Madhuri.
Surrendering everything to the Lord. Self-surrender, there is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verse 34, where the Lord says, "The person who has completely surrendered unto me and has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. In other words, I wish to help him become more and more advanced in spiritual life. Such a person is to be understood as having already achieved sarvasti, having equal opulences with the Supreme. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that as soon as the person surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge of him and gives him a guarantee of protection from all sinful reactions. He also instructs from within so that the devotee may be very quickly make advance spiritual perfection. This self-surrender is called Atmanivedana. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes considered to refer to the spirit self or soul, and self is sometimes considered to refer to the mind or to the body. Full self-surrender therefore means not only surrendering oneself as spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhakti Vinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection while offering himself as a fully surrendered soul. He said, "My mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. Now you can do with them as you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. So if you like, you can kill me, or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own." Sri Emunacharya, in his prayers to the Lord, has expressed a similar idea in the following words: "My dear Lord, but whatever mode of life, I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature, and I, who am I in possession of these bodies, offering myself unto you." In the Hari Bhakti Viveka, there is a statement regarding how one can offer his body in self-surrender. There the devotee says, "My dear Lord, as a souled animal has no need to think about his maintenance and sustenance, so because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance." In other words, one should not bother about his personal or family maintenance or sustenance. If one is actually surrendered in body and soul, he should always remember that his only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami says that devotional service in friendship and in devotional service in self-surrenders are two difficult processes. Therefore, such relationships with the Lord can be very, very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotees are these two processes easily executed. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender which is mixed with sincere ecstatic devotion. One must give himself completely to the will of the Lord.
Okay, so again, Rupa Goswami is now, you know, discriminating that what is Atma Nivedanam. So Atma, some refer to Atma as the body, and some refer to soul. Okay, and then some refer to the Atma as complete, which means body, soul, everything. Okay, so see, initial purport, you know, Prabhupada says that any person, as soon as a person surrenders unto the feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge of him, and you know, he obviously delivers from sinful reaction, and he also instructs from within, so that the devotee may very quickly make advancement towards spiritual perfection. So now this is something that Radha Swami Mataji was also mentioning, that instructing from within. Okay, so now let us try to understand. You know, the question is that, is this instructing from within also possible in sadhaka stage? Or it is only possible in very advanced stages?
Yeah, I think it is possible even in sadhaka stage.
Okay. Can you give some example, Mataji?
Because mercy is given to the person who is actually not eligible. You know, that is why it is called mercy.
Okay, yeah, okay. Can you is it possible, Mataji, to give some example which you have personally experienced or some other devotee have experienced, like, you know, then it will be wonderful. Okay, anyways, okay, if you cannot think of any
inspiration, Prabhuji.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yes. So we get experience
or we should
that,
read. Right? Yeah, we have experience of that only.
Yeah. Okay. So what about other devotees?
I have experience, but as of now, I don't. I think before the close of this, I will tell you. You know, one. I think. You know, I had been for a Rath Yatra in. And when this Rath Yatra was fixed, I was not in Bombay, I was in Chennai. And that okay. Prabhuji with whom I used to go, he called me and he said, you're not coming for the Rath Yatra this time. I said, really, I didn't know the Yatra and I want to come. And he said, okay, yeah. In that case, you book your ticket and, you know, the hotel bookings and other things we'll take care of. Then I just flew back it. Unfortunately, others okay. whose tickets were already booked, they were all on waiting list. So, today we reached, today we reached, one day before we reached. And on the day of Rath Yatra, I know normally what happens, people book their, seats, like, on the top of all buildings on the either side of the road.
Yeah.
You know, that time when I had gone, it was 1,000 rupees per head. You know, they take care of all the things. Yeah. So there was one Mataji who used to go regularly. This was the first time I went for Rath Yatra. So she told me, why do you have to pay 1,000 rupees and all that? It is only eating, the snacks. And throughout the day, you really get bored. You feel sleepy. Why don't you come with me? I will take you around. So hearing her, I went with her. And on the roadside, there was a shop which was actually closed. So there was a bakra, there was a bench there. She told me, you please sit here. And Rath comes, that time we will go. Actually, the first Rath came very late. It was around 2:30 in the afternoon. When it came, actually, there are actually five levels, they have the strings, all the, people who take care of them, the military people were there on five levels, and then the Rath is there.
Right.
So, when we went for the first level, she told, Bhai Sahab, hum log bohut lamba se aa rahe, Bombay se, zara kali humko, रोप टच करना है और कुछ नहीं हमको खींचना नहीं है खाली टच करेगा तो बस एंड ही नॉडेड टू द सेकंड फेलो थर्ड फेलो फोर्थ फेलो दैट्स हाउ वी कुड गो एंड टच टच करके वी केम बैक
ओके गुड
एंड देन आफ्टर दैट सेकंड रथ आल्सो वी डिड द सेम थिंग थर्ड इज जगन्नाथ रथ एंड जगन्नाथ रथ केम Actually, it stopped in front of the hotel where we were staying. And that panda was saying, Aaj Jagannath ka mood nahi hai, kal hi jayega, kal 10 baje ke baad. And you should see the crowd there, my lot of, because it was around 7:30 in the evening. There was a lot of people clinging around. And Prabhuji with whom we had come, he said, what we do is, we go early, we have a prasad, and we come back around 1:32. That time people will be less. And we did the same thing. We went, we had a slight nap. Then around 1:30 we all came out. But luckily the crowd was less, but people think like us, no? So there was some crowd, but it was manageable. We went and the Rath, the wheels are so big, it's very difficult to climb.
Right.
And for me, it was really next to impossible. That's what I was thinking because people were climbing with great difficulty. And luckily for me, I don't know, it's God's gift. There were people standing at every step and giving me a hand. Mataji aao, Mataji aao. And that itself made me, God is really calling me up. And after reaching there, there was one panda who said, aapko Bhagwan ke paas jana hai. I said, haan, jana hai. Then he took me inside somewhere and I was the only person because Bhagwan ka face only is, kept out.
Yeah.
Body is inside. Mm. And I was just embracing the Lord. I don't know, I was not in this world at all. For 15 minutes, there was no disturbance, absolutely. And there was somebody who, at the, there was a curtain and somebody lifted that, aap andar kya kar rahe hai, bahar jao, bahar jao. That's the time I came out and I couldn't control my, I was crying like a baby. People who were with me, they were saying, kya ho gaya, Mataji kidhar lag gaya, koi kuch bola. I was not able to speak a word. I was crying, crying because that experience I can never, I cannot explain in words. My body, I don't know, my body was really numb. I was just watching people. I don't know what happened to me. And similarly, while getting down also, there were people who were helping me to get down. That experience, I can never forget in my life. Because I don't think I deserve that sort of a, 15 minutes, I was not in this world at all. It's a second birth, I should say. And that is
wonderful
the time. and that time, I decided I will get the deities home. And I brought Jagannath Balde Subhadra and Prabhuji said tumhara ye bahut acha experience hai sabko bulao jo bhi aaya tha apna apna group fan board bana ke bhagwan ka ye karo and I did that since morning I started my chappan bhog you need 56 but you know to my surprise it was 70 more than 70
Good,
70 items I made all alone you know besides fruits and other things you know, I without my knowledge, it became 70 items, and I cannot believe this. This is my
wonderful
experience, which I can say. And similar experience I had in Mayapur also. If I am not taking away much of their time, I can explain that. If not,
maybe next time we'll share like whenever there is a relevant thing. So that's very wonderful example, Mataji. Thank you for sharing. You know, by your what you experience, we also felt probably every one of us, must have felt some kind of vibration also. So this is an example of how the Lord can also instruct the sincere sadhaka from within. But it's not necessary that it will be constantly throughout our life, every day. Sometimes he will, guide us from within. If we are sincere, and then Prabhupada also says many times, in his letters, in his purports, that for a sincere sadhaka, Krishna helps from within. So, whatever devotees are trying to endeavor to start some preaching somewhere, and Prabhupada writes to them in the letters that, just be sincere and Krishna will guide you from within. Many times Prabhupada has said this. So we understand that this guiding, from within, although we are not qualified, it is also coming from the grace of the Guru. Okay. So because at sadhaka stage, obviously, we are definitely not qualified to directly receive instructions from the Lord. So through the agency of the Guru, by His blessings, the Lord also helps the sadhaka from within many times. Okay. And then, once we read the platform of Bhava and Prema, then, the super soul and the soul are directly connected to each other all the time. Okay. So this is it's an ongoing process like that. Yeah. So any questions on this? Yeah. So yoga kshemam vaami
aham. That means that means we have to understand that in sadhan bhakti also Krishna helps. Yes.
Of course. See, that is the reason sadhana bhakti is also pure devotional service, right from Shraddha, pure devotional service begins. So why? Because the purpose, the main purpose of sadhana bhakti is to please the Lord. The only difference in bhava and prema is that the intensity of that pleasing the Lord increases more, and the secondary ulterior motives, they will go to the background. Okay. So they will reduce. Like, initially you might have let's say for example, out of 10, you have your 6 points or 6 desires is to please the Lord. But the 4 desires you have to please your own senses. But that's, let's say, that is the beginning of Shraddha. And then when you reach Bhava, that will become maybe around 2, 3 or 2 are only remaining. And then with the prema, at the stage of prema, it becomes zero. Okay. So the ulterior desire.
No, that's what happens. What I feel is, even for anybody who goes to have darshan, you have a vision, you can actually see the Lord. But actually, only when you close your eyes and pray, you get connected to God rather than keeping your eyes open. And moreover, when you go to the temple, you think of praying for so many things, so many material things. But the moment you see the Lord, you forget your own wants.
Identity.
Yeah. Okay, see, now that's obviously a good point. But, see this from the point of view of Rup Goswami, what he has given in Bhakti Samrit Sindhu, or Jeev Goswami also says in Krishna Sandarbh that what is the meaning of darshan of the Lord? Even the demons, they get the darshan of Lord. So did the Lord really give darshan to the demons? Can the demons also see the Lord? Like for example, when Krishna in the, you know, when he came, or you know, Lord Ramchandra came, Hiranyakashipu, you know, Dantvakra, Shishupal, Kamsa, you know, then Ravana, they all saw the Lord. Okay, so then what is the big deal, you know, in seeing the Lord? You know, when even demons can see. So then how?
Prabhuji, we see with love. We see him as a supreme, but they see him as some ordinary being.
Yeah. So Jeeva, when an atheist sees the Lord, actually they are not seeing the Lord. They are seeing the reflection of the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the answer.
Prabhuji, here I want to tell you, there is a blind person who comes to Radha Gopinath every Sunday. And there were some people who were asking, ek to ye andha hai, dekh nahi pa raha hai, why is he coming? And he was such a nice devotee. He said, I am not coming to see God. I am coming here so that God can
so
see me.
Can see me. Yeah. So that's what Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur also says. Yeah. So
it's not that. Continue, Prabhu.
Yeah. Continue, Madhavi.
Haribol.
So.
Yeah.
That is, you are seeing what important. God has to see you. You don't
correct.
Have your physical eyes to see him. So when God sees you, you get blessings automatically.
Yes. So basically,
that is, you are showing your attendance to him.
Correct. Yeah. So when we see, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also says that, you know, it's important not to just go and take darshan of the Lord, but it is important to serve in such a way that Lord will himself, you know, he
wants to see you. Yeah,
so that is more important principle. So service is always an important principle. See, service also goes beyond developing ecstatic bhav or ecstatic symptoms. Okay, and I gave that example with Rupa Goswami quotes, associate of Lord in Dwarka. He was planning, he got developed ecstatic symptoms, and that was interfering with his seva. So he was repenting and he was saying that I should not develop, you know, because I'm not able to find the Lord properly. So service is always the topmost principle in spiritual life. And all other things are, you know, inferior to that. So, all right. So one way to see the Lord is to, you know, through service. And now when we talk about seeing the Lord also, you know, the way the pure bhaktas see the Lord is with the eyes of love. Premanjara Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, right? Brahma Savita says. So there is a difference between, you know, the materialistic person views the Lord, sees the Lord, and the pure devotee will see the Lord. And there is a difference in the way the sadhaka sees the Lord and the pure devotee. So there is a lot of difference. Okay. Now, Prabhupada said, in, you know, many times he said that the perfection of deity worship is to see Krishna in each and everything around us. So if you are seeing Krishna only in the deity form, then we are not so advanced. But if you are able to see Krishna's hand and able to see Krishna everywhere, then you have become very advanced. You have become Uttamadhikari. Okay, so this particular state we cannot artificially imitate. Okay, we have to act where we are. Okay, so you see, the one of the symptoms of Kanishtha Adhikari is that he will go to the temple and he will see the Lord in the deity. Okay, and he will be very offensive to the devotees. He will not talk rudely, he will speak rudely to them, he will not properly respect them, you know, and he will think that the Lord is only present in the temple, and then he goes outside, then, you know, he will not see the Lord anywhere else. So this is Kanishtha vision. Okay, so this we have to understand that if someone is genuinely developing feelings for the Lord, or is, you know, seeing the Lord in the deity also, then, you know, he has to cultivate attitude, and he has to expand that attitude in all living entities also. So one cannot say that I'm seeing the Lord, you know, as a sadhaka, but I don't see the Lord anywhere else. Then that's a Kanishtha, you know, stage, or a, you know, low level of stage. So we have to our acharyas and Goswamis, you know, how they have presented. Because Rup Goswami, see, Bhakti Samrit Sindhu, just right? Everyone knows that?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Right? So similarly, yes. Bhakti Samrit Sindhu is the manifestation of who?
Is it
Rupa Goswami.
Huh? Srimati Radharani, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is who? He is Pran Sakhi of Radharani, heart of Radharani. So when he is, see, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is an, you know, it's kind of a commentary on the Bhagavatam, you know, and thorough analysis on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Rupa Goswami is identifying, you know, the mood and everything from the Bhagavatam, and he's elaborating on that. So actually all these devotional limbs, see, when we talk about devotional processes, devotional service, who is the most embodiment, you know, highest embodiment of devotional service?
Radharani.
Srimati Radharani.
Yeah. So we are not, see, now what we are doing, you know, externally we might call it Shastra, but actually we are accessing the heart of Srimati Radharani through Rupa Goswami's teachings. Okay, and that is the reason we have to understand very thoroughly, you know, this is not just Shastra, ordinary Shastra, this is the heart of devotional service. And we understand what is true devotional service and what is, you know, false devotional service through the teachings of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So that is the reason Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a very, very important scripture. You know, if someone does not understand these principles, then, you know, it's more of a sentimental feeling rather than, you know, the real, actual, you know, process of bhakti. Okay. So Rupa Goswami and then Jiva Goswami, all these are manjaris and the details, you know, the principles. And they are saying that whenever, you know, the devotees might have this question that how do we identify that our emotions are sentimental or, you know, like we are, or are we going more in the direction of sahajya, you know, tendency to like imitate someone, or are these symptoms, you know, or emotions natural or genuine? So now these questions, you know, if you refer to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they will be answered. And that is the reason I was always, you know, talking about the stage of steadiness. That when you experience, you know, experience anything in your spiritual life on a steady, then you are advancing in spiritual life. Because one cannot go to the stage of, you know, Rutma without crossing the stage of Nishta. So the steadiness has to be there. If there is no steadiness, if the symptoms are going, appearing, disappearing, you know, like kind of, you know, it, the cycle is going up and down, then, you know, it is not so, then we can understand, okay, you know, it is like, maybe it might be genuine, but it is not steady. So then, you know, we have to work further. But if the symptoms are, you know, genuine, if they are steady throughout our life, then, you know, we can know that, you know, we are making advancement. And then further, if you cross the stage of asakti, you cannot reach the stage of bhava. Okay, because what is the meaning of asakti? Asakti means intense attachment to the Lord. Okay, now if you are not attached to someone, how will you develop bhava symptoms? You know, naturally you will cry, you will start remembering them, you know, like, and it will be difficult to, you know, stay. So this attachment, if there is no attachment to the Lord, then there is no question of, you know, important stuff. You have to understand. So the point is that, you know, it is good, you know, if we are experiencing, you know, nice, genuine symptoms, it's good. But then we have to also bring, we are maintaining the same kind of symptoms throughout the life. And you know, if we commit office, so we have to always be on the platform of steadiness. We will be disconnected after 2 hours. So, you know, you might get disconnected. So just dial up and call.
No questions, Prabhuji.
To just sincerely practice bhakti. If you are sincere, if you are faithful to our guru varga, guru parampara, if you are practicing sincerely what they are instructing us, then we will experience these things also. You know, as you know, Mataji shared some wonderful experiences, and we all will share that. You know, experience that later, or we are probably experienced, or we are going to experience soon. Okay, actually. And the most important point is, even if we are getting these kind of experiences, we have to always be humble. Okay. First of all, we have to give the entire credit to our guru, you know, that it's all possible because of their mercy. And second thing is, once we start experiencing these things, we should, okay. In Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami makes the same point, that any advanced devotee, you know, even if he has, you know, reached higher advanced stage of bhakti, externally he will always show himself as a and one will never come to understand, you know, whether he's an advanced devotee or not. So, you know, because as you advance more in bhakti, then humility also will develop to such an extent. The intensity of, and once humility is there, then externally, you know, we'll always try to, okay, that we are the lowest. Okay, so this is very important to understand one in spiritual life, you know, and just act very naturally, you know, according to us. We can try to follow in the footsteps of, you know, great souls, but we should not imitate them. For example, you know, many devotees, in the beginning when they come to spiritual life, for the statement that, you know, you chant so many rounds, or, you know, you do this, or you do this, you do that. And, you know, so immediately what they will do is they will start implementing the process. Like, you know, if the Shastra will say that if one chants 64 rounds for so many hours or so many days, then one will achieve this and that. Like, right, okay, let's give it another very, you know, relevant example. Radha Kund, bathing in Radha Kund. Okay, so what does Radha, you know, bathing in Radha Kund, you know, say? If you have read that Radha Kund Ashtakam, then at the end, the Shrutifal says that anyone who takes bath in Radha Kund, recites the Radha Kund Ashtakam, you know, prayers 100 times, you know, while, you know, taking bath in Radha Kund, you know, while half immersed, or, you know, immersed up to the chest or navel, or, you know, elbow, like that, desires will be fulfilled, and he will see with his own eyes Radha and Krishna, you know, together, Radha Shyam Sundar together. So this is a Shrutifal of, you know, reciting Radha Kund prayers in immersed in the water of Radha Kund. Now you tell me one thing, that if that would have been the case, then Prabhupada have asked all the ISKCON devotees, just fill it. The entire world, you know, ISKCON devotees from ISKCON will just be in Radha Kund, and they will just be in bath only there. Because so easy, you know, just go there 100 times, you know, chant the prayers, and Krishna and Radha face to face, directly, you know, direct darshan. But Prabhupada never said that. You know, we don't see the seniors. We don't see guru, we don't see sadhus, you know, they are doing like that. Correct? So then how to understand this? So the meaning is that anyone who bathes there, you know, with pure heart, with sincere, offenselessly, then he will get that result. And if you see Nectar of Instruction also, bathing in Radha Kund also, you know, the last 2-3 verses talk about bathing in Radha Kund. But what are the first, you know, 8 verses? They talk about what? The first verse itself says, Vacho Vegam, Manmasa Krodha Vegam, Udaro Pasta Vegam. Right? So first you control your senses. You know, then, and all the instructions which are given in the 8 verses. You know, unless you follow them, and then, you know, you go to Radha Kund and you take bath, how will you get the desired result? You cannot. Then that is not going to work. So we have to understand this, that when we hear statements from Shastra, we should not directly jump, and we have to take proper guidance from the authorities. Okay, try to understand what they want, you know, what is the most important thing. Okay, so see, all these processes, you know, they will have the full effect when one will strive, sincerely try to surrender to the Guru. Okay, but if that principle is not there, then all these processes, how many lifetimes you do, you will not get the desired result. Very difficult. Okay, so we have to remember that these things, you know, they are all supposed to be understood through the guidance of the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Okay, and see, once you advance at further stages, then automatically you will become a first class disciple. Correct? You know, like we are describing the, you know, different kinds of disciples. There are 3 categories: third class, second class, and first class. So when the devotee advances, then he automatically will come to the level of first class disciple. Means what? That, you know, without the instruction of Guru also, you will understand, you know, how can I please the Guru? Continuously it will come. So in that sense also one can say that, you know, Krishna starts guiding him from within. But then he will always please the Guru, you know. Displeasing the Guru is never at, you know, Kanishta, Madhyama or Uttama. It is always going to be there. Okay, so this is how we understand. So any questions on this? I might get disconnected now, probably.
Suji, one question is there. Is it right to take bath in Radha Kund or Sham Kund?
Okay.
Because whenever I think, I had never bathed in Radha Kund and Sham Kund in my life. I just done Radha Kund, then it might be apraad because I am touching my feet to Radha Rani. It's like beating with legs to Radha Rani. So I had never dropped my leg inside the Radha Kund and Sham Kund. I had always done Achman.
Okay, so it's very good question, very relevant question, and it's a perfect example of now proving that how one has to follow their Diksha and Shiksha gurus. Because now in ISKCON there are many gurus, and all these gurus, they have different opinions about bathing in Radha Kund. Okay, so some say that one should not take bath, and that is the reason they will not allow their disciples also to take bath. Some, they are, so there are very broad-minded devotees or gurus who will say that, one should stay there, and one should regularly bath in Radha Kund. Right, and then there are the opposite end, there are devotees who say that just Achman, just respectfully, and don't put your you should not never take bath in Radha Kund. So this I have already in much detail I have explained in the NY class when I was discussing about the last three verses in bathing in Radha Kund. So it is very important please hear that first of all. Let's start with Srila Prabhupada. What Prabhupada wanted? Should we, take bath in Radha Kund or not? So you see, in 74, I don't remember. But when Prabhupada first brought his foreign disciples to Radha Kund, that time he advised everyone to take bath. Okay, so all of them, they went inside Radha Kund. But much to Prabhupada's surprise, they started disrespecting Radha Kund, by swimming. By playing with the Radha Kund and not properly in the right mood and spirit, approaching Radha Kund. So Prabhupada was extremely disturbed, and he was very angry on all his disciples. So from then onwards, Prabhupada told them very clearly that you all should never take bath in Radha Kund, and Radha Kund is not different from Srimati Radharani. And how can you, and then later on Prabhupada started saying that how can you even think of, bathing because. So you see, this is very surprising, very contradicting. It seems very contradicting, right? So then, now you see, in ISKCON also, different gurus have different opinions on this. Some will allow, some will not allow. So who is correct and who is wrong? Can someone say who is correct?
It depends on your bhava, Prabhuji.
Okay,
Prabhuji,
depends
I have
on
taken
how.
Bath. I have taken bath twice, reciting the Radha Kripa Katasha Stotra 100 times. I have done it myself. But the mood in which I went was, I am a child of Radharani. That is the mood. She can take her children on her lap. With that intention, I went.
Okay. So, Radha Smaran Mataji took bath. In fact, I would also, confess that I have also taken bath in Radha Kund. Obviously, I don't take regularly. I generally prefer to take bath in Kartik and Purushottam Mass. And I will explain, why I took. Any other devotees?
I have taken bath during Babulashtami.
So Bahulashtami, now interestingly you see Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he never allows his disciples to take bath in Radha Kund. Only once in a year he will take allow, and that is Bahulashtami. So is Jagdani Mataji there? Okay, don't know. But
yes,
so I don't know if Sachimon Prabhu and
there.
Yeah,
yes,
so
Prabhuji,
you
take it.
During before Vasant Panchami we took.
Okay, so see, So is okay, Jagjali Matari, am I correct? You know, what I've heard is
yes,
Maharaj does
yes,
not allow.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
He only allows
we
once
never
in a year, Balashtami.
We only just
yeah,
go
yeah.
and Ashman.
Ashman, correct. In fact, I had a personal discussion with Gopal Krishna.
Hello?
So he's got disconnected, he's
correct. He got disconnected.
I think we'll have to dial again.
No, we need not dial. He will dial and he'll reconnect.
Okay, so we remain on the line.
You remain on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What's your name, Madhuri?
My name is Radha Smaran. How about you?
Jagjan Madhuri.
Okay.
Your experience was very nice. Excellent. Jagannath Puri.
Yeah. What's your mother tongue, Mataji?
My mother tongue is Oriya. I'm from Jagannath Puri only.
Oh, very good.
Radha Smaran Mataji, you are Tamilian or what?
Yes, I am a Tamilian.
I am Satyabama, I am also Tamilian, yeah.
Okay.
We wait for Prabhuji will connect now. We wait for that.
He'll connect.
You're
so.
Connected.
He'll connect.
Oh.
It takes time, around 1 or 2
how
minutes.
How many of us are there in the group actually?
Actually, it is 2 hours. Sometimes.
How many people are
there? People, around
no,
20
no,
are
number
there.
Number of people.
15,
is it?
Around.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji has joined back.
Hari Bol.
Have you joined back, Prabhuji?
Yeah. Reconnect our word?
I don't think.
No. Only the host gets disconnected.
So actually, we should come to know each other at least by name.
Yeah.
I am Sakshi Mohan Prabhuji Mataji.
Sakshi Mohan Prabhuji, you are from where? Which temple you are connected with?
Radha Gopinath. Mira Road and Radha Gopinath.
Okay.
My wife is Induleka Saroja Mataji.
No, Saroj Mukhi Induleka Mataji.
Oh. She is also on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
Okay. So all the 15 people, we should know each other, at least by name.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Mataji. My mother is from Detroit.
Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Which temple you are connected
to? Yeah, I got disconnected.
Oh, Prabhuji, you're back. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll come back.
Okay, so now, okay. So you see different, okay, now talking about my Guru Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj. Now he, generally during yatras, he does not, allow anyone to take bath. He gives strict instruction and it is announced in the yatra time also that we are not supposed to take bath. But what I have personally heard from senior Vaishnavas is that he does allow devotees to take bath individually. On special occasions like Kartik or, Purushottamas or some Bahul Ashtami or, Radha Ashtami or whichever day is there. So, he allows us to take bath, but that is, we should not become too attached, we leave everything and, we start staying in Radhakund and, it should not become a regular habit basically. Okay, so that is the, what my Guru Maharaj is, says about this. And then, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, he does not allow, strictly does not allow. And then, obviously there are a variety of other, Jaipadaka Maharaj, I remember, he allows everyone to take bath in Radhakund. Okay, so now, these are the different moods and gurus. And one cannot say that, who is correct, who is wrong, who is right, whatever. Because, actually every one of them is right in their own way. And, they want to, someone would like to strictly follow, Prabhupada's second instruction. And someone would like to, understand how, in what way Prabhupada stopped it. Okay, so now you trace, let us trace, you know, to the starting point, you know, how it all started. So it started with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he being Krishna. See, now interestingly, you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, for him to step on Giriraj, you know, he considered it as an offense. But when he took bath in Radhakund, he did not think that he's stepping off. Another thing is, you know, when he is in the bhava of Radharani, Radharani would think that I can never step. Radharani, you know, when she is, you know, entering her own, you know. So similarly, I think, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that probably. You know, I'm just sharing my realization. I mean, I don't know if there is some Shastric evidence for why, you know, he took bath in Radhakund and why he did not, you know, step over Govardhan. So being Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followers, you know, we don't jump on Govardhan, we don't step over Govardhan, we climb on Govardhan. And you know, but at the same time, we also take bath in Radhakund because he did that. And then later on, we see Rupa Goswami also did. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, he is the one who actually excavated Radhakund, and then he was regularly taking bath in Radhakund. So now you have Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they are eternal associates. They are Rupa and, you know, Rati Manjaris. Right? Sorry, Rupa and I think Ras Manjari, probably. So then they used to take bath very regularly. And then following, we follow the footsteps of, and then Prabhupada also, initially, you know, he allowed for the first time to take bath. But then later on he stopped. And then whoever takes Achman, you know, three drops and puts over his head, then that is equivalent to bathing in Radhakund. So, you know, equally okay. But one should not become judgmental, or one should not start criticizing devotees who are taking bath in Radhakund. So one should understand their sentiment, and one should understand that they have received Guru. So they see, now it comes to following someone, following one person, okay, as a Guru. So they are the first object of worship. So whatever they are saying, we have to do that, okay. So if then obviously, you know, who is our Diksha Guru, who is your main inspiration in spiritual life, that the devotee disciple will decide. So, you know, it is possible that the, you know, disciple might have more faith in the Siksha Guru than the Diksha Guru. And if the thing that, you know, you take bath in Radhakund and Diksha Guru is saying no, then obviously the come to a conclusion, you know, they should not contradict instruction to the disciple. So then whatever they said initially, that
at that point of time.
Yeah, so in our CC class on Friday, which I did not cover. So because see, the IDC, the ISKCON Disciple course, it goes only to this point, that Diksha Guru is the main object of worship. Okay, and you know, we'll discuss this point, you know, in our CC class next time. So, and I would request the devotees in our NOD class to also hear, you know, the last CC class and the last CC class, because you know, we had covered a lot of Guru Tattva details. So, you know, I will have to explain everything. So I think it's better that, okay, then what happens is, you know, Diksha Guru will become the limb of the Siksha Guru. Okay, but now we are, otherwise that will create a lot of problems. So that also we'll discuss. But now I hope that, you know, everyone is understanding, you know, whether to, you know, take bath in Radhakund or not. So give their blessing permission, and then you decide what you have to do. So if they allow you, then you take.
That is next level. There is no problem.
What I can say is, first you have to understand worship. Then you have to go and tell him that, you know, my Siksha Guru allowed me, and he was saying this. So then after that, if your Diksha Guru thinks that no, you should not, then you should follow his instruction. And see, one more thing is there, that, you know, when the Diksha Guru is saying, you know, or any other Guru, you know, it be a Siksha Guru or a Diksha Guru, if they are saying that the result of taking Achman in Radhakund, you know, sprinkling three drops of water, that is equivalent to, you know, taking bath, then we should have faith in that words also. We should have complete faith in that instruction, you know. And in fact, you know, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, you know, when I was discussing with him, he even told me to the point that, you know, I myself don't take bath in Radhakund, and I sprinkle over my body three drops. So, you know, obviously, you know, then if the Guru is not taking, then, you know, the disciples should understand, you know, that how can we surpass the Guru, right? So it all depends on who is your, you know, the most inspiration person or devotee in your spiritual life. Diksha Guru, then just follow what he says. And if the Siksha Guru,
both, they are really very opulent for me.
Yeah, if both are equal, then
only.
Yeah. So if and is your sixth roj your Guru Maharaj, you know, Diksha Guru, and you know, convey to him that, you know, like he's telling me his advice section. Otherwise it will be a big problem actually. So but anyways, you know, see, now there are cases where you know, our Siksha Gurus being, you know, our God brothers or God sisters, you know, they have Gopalista Maharaj. And you know what he told me one day? He told me that, you know, one time when, you know, he was with his guru, like Gopalista Maharaj at Radhakun, that time
maybe that disables consciousness.
Yeah. So it is possible, first and foremost principle. That will you know, the feet joy, or you know, number I will always repent throughout my life, you know, that I displease my guru, and you know, follow his instructions, and with time, you know, he will probably, you know, one day he will allow us to take bath in Radhakund also. So
in water, that means I have taken bath also. I am following my Diksha Guru and following my Siksha Guru both.
Yeah, perfect.
In that
perfect.
Way, I am thinking
So that reconciles, you know.
Asking a question to clear my all the doubts.
Yeah. So in that case, see, now there is a disagreement between the Diksha and Siksha Guru. So then the Diksha and Siksha Guru should, you know, mutually resolve it. And then they should give a common instruction to the disciple. Right? So for example, if the Siksha Guru, you know, then he should convey that to the spiritual master. You know, and then, you know, if Diksha Guru will feel, probably he will allow you. But after that, still the Diksha Guru will say, you know, that, you know, like then you just follow. Like that. So anyways, you know, let's you know, discuss about the Siksha Guru thing in the next class. There are a lot of points to be discussed in that. You know, like if Diksha Guru is there, and if Siksha Guru is also there, and both are conducting classes, then whose class we should attend, you know, then whose service we should render, you know, all these conflicting points are coming. So all these points we'll cover in the next class. Okay. So is this clear about the, you know, bathing in Radhakund, Sumit Prabhu?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
But I will never bath in Radhakund and Samkund in my life. Because I feel very awkward to bath in Radhakund and Samkund. Because it's a part of Supreme Lord. So it's like offensive for me.
No, so you cannot say it's an offense that other devotees are committing offense by taking bath in Radhakund.
No, not.
So that is not right.
No, not. But for my sake, I'm just clarifying my doubt. That I stepped over Radharani.
No, but you can take Radhakund, and then when we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yuga Goswami and the followers, then how can we, you know, interpret their words, right?
No. If you can take him Radhakund, then I will, because Guru's words will be final for me.
I am disciple of Guru Maharaj. Then maybe some other devotees are also there. And what I've heard from, you know, see, obviously I don't directly approach, you know, Guru Maharaj. It's very odd, you know, like now Radhanath Maharaj does not speak personally to each and every devotee. So we approach Guru Maharaj through senior Vaishnavas. Through what I'm sharing now, that Guru Maharaj does allow, okay, in some occasions, but it should not become a regular, we should not become attached to the idea of going there regularly, bathing and thinking that it will give me the highest service of Guru is the first and foremost principle. Okay. And then if you get opportunity to bathe in Radhakund, so this is, you know, what Radhanath Maharaj says, his opinion I'm just, you know, sharing. Okay, so, well, you know, Maharaj said, but, you know, I think it is an offense or something like that. You just follow that. Under the Guru's shelter, we are safe, basically.
Right. If he is telling that situation like Bahulashtami or Radhashtami or Janmashtami, then...
Only festival time or something. Yeah, whenever you are getting opportunity, take once, you know, once in a while, you know, like you, and not, you're not going any year, not any other month of the year, then an opportunity, take once, you know, bath in Radhakund, nothing wrong in that. Like, you know, very respectfully, very, so that's fine, you know, like, So that is my understanding, you know, what I okay, so any other devotee has any question on this? Or any comment?
Yes.
Yeah,
now I can follow.
Yeah, okay. Okay, alright, so we couldn't finish, actually.
No, we can.
This topic of Radhakund bathing and Radhakund came, so, you know, it got debated a little bit. But anyway, it's an important principle to understand. So, yeah. So, anyway, okay. All right. So, thank you so much for attending. Dhanwad pranam to all the devotees. Oh, sorry. I just forgot to inform each and every one of you, if you are all there, that, you know, now is the time, you know, you please invite other devotees who are whoever is interested. Because what I have realized, because I did not earlier, so what happened is, came in between.
Now it's clear, Prabhuji.
Yeah, now it is clear. So yeah, so what I was requesting each and every devotee, that button is gone. So we'll follow that standard. And so now my request is that, you know, I made that mistake, you know, thinking that I should not, understanding that many devotees, they are, you know, who are joining late, so they are missing a lot of information, you know, many important information. So I think, you know, we should all, you know, share it with others at your best, so that, you know, whoever devotees, you know, they would like to attend on a regular basis and understand, then they will not miss. And after NOD finish, take time. But after NOD, you know, I will be starting with Krishna book. The Leela on will be extremely deep and interesting. Okay. And we'll cover the entire Krishna book, all the Leelas, you know, like the way Acharya they have explained all the Leelas, wonderful. So I explain, you know, like seeing the proper philosophical siddhants, you know, we'll go through them, understanding the proper siddhant. Okay. So, and, just, you know, let me know, you know, whoever is interested, pass their contact to me, you know, in WhatsApp, and then call, you know, admin in WhatsApp, and you all can, you know, start adding them. But I think, you know, first I will have to speak to the devotees, you know, before joining, you know, just to, I will have some questions for them. So if you all can do this much, then, you know, it will be nice, you know, many devotees can get, you know, a lot of information.
Get connected, huh?
Yeah. So,
any limitations to the number of people?
No limit, because this particular, there is no limit as far as I know. I will confirm with Aritra once more, but I don't think. And then through the Skype, you know, through internet.
Skype.
Okay. Yeah. So that also does not have any limit, I guess. Okay. So rather than that, you know, yes, spread the word in almost 30 groups in WhatsApp. And because of that, there were some people and Sharjah, you know, they have approached, and they have expressed their desire to join. Because of them only, you know, we are shifting to Skype now, and thinking in future that, you know, there will be so many devotees can join, you know, for the CC class. So have a lot of kathas in the temple, then somehow they can get connected. All right. Okay. So thank you so much, each and every one of you. Dhanwad pranam to everyone.
Thank you very much.
All glories to